You know, today is going to be a fantastic show. Some of you may have heard me say something along the lines of, I am on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown I love. Well, today we are going to be sharing part of that revolution, part of the success of Sacramento's entrepreneurial scene. We are joined today by Elizabeth Conley. She is the president, co-founder of Trifecta Nutrition, one of the fastest growing companies, maybe the fastest growing in the region, but you guys are like the largest organic meal delivery company in the country, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a couple of numbers I want to ask you about here real quick.
Sure.
20 million. What does that number mean to you today?
Oh, it's a big day. we raised our Series B, so very, very exciting day. You caught me before I started into the champagne.
I love it. So this is the first interview you've done since the big announcement, right?
Yep.
20 million bucks. What are you going to do with all that cash?
Yeah.
And that gets infused into the company, right?
Yep, exactly. Okay. So, you know, increasing hiring, things like that, just really increasing the growth. Lets us expand and help more people because we're really trying to help get America back into shape. So
yes.
It's a big task, obviously.
Get America back into shape.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Okay, so what's the emotion? Obviously, champagne is going to happen at some point. Should have had some here for you. Shoot. So what's the emotion, though? Now, you guys have had so many milestones over the years. You guys are on a run rate of over $100 million per year. But what's the emotion? This is a huge milestone because this could make a lot of impact on the company.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, the emotion. Very excited. We also, you know, we feel like it's time to double down, you know, just tons of work ahead of us as well. But obviously, just really want to celebrate that we've made it this far. We're about 6 years in business. So.
Okay.
Still very early on, but we know there's just so much we could do.
Well, that was that was one of the other numbers I was going to ask you about. In 6 years, you've made it so far.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to feel like, a weight lifted, because at the beginning, I have to imagine there were tenuous moments, there were hurdles that may have seemed insurmountable. And now here you are raising $20 million on your way to maybe going public someday.
Yeah, I mean, it feels really good to have that behind us. And now we're able to just take opportunities in the future, which is very exciting. But yeah, we've had challenge after challenge where I think a lot of people would have given up in so many different scenarios. And I'm really grateful that we continued on because obviously we made it here to this day. And but yeah, I mean, we've done everything from, you know, running out of money to, you know, trying different ways to work on the business. And so it's been quite the journey, as I'll say.
Well, yeah. I look forward to diving in a little bit more, but the last number I'm going to ask you about is a number that I didn't really realize existed, but apparently it's part of your statistics here. 2 million, 2 million pounds. You've helped people. I know it's not strictly a weight loss type of product. It's a healthy product, organic, gluten-free, but people are losing weight.
Yeah.
You've helped people lose 2 million pounds?
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. I mean, you have to think about if, you know, 75% of America is overweight or obese, you know, most of us are trying to lose weight. Even if it's, you know, relatively fit people like you and I.
Ripped.
Well, yeah, ripped. You know, we might want to lose, you know, just maybe a couple pounds type thing.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, it's really, it touches everyone. And more than that, a lot of us know, you know, have people close to us that have health issues, and we're really able to help with that, whether it's, you know, type 2 diabetes or there's just so many different areas. So that's been really, that like gets me up in the morning, is being able to help people in that way.
Yeah. I mean, losing weight is one aspect of it, but you could be going through any kind of disease or maybe just a desire to live longer, and we need to put good stuff into our body. I feel like is that a trend these days? I mean, obviously, you and I are sort of fitness oriented people, but do you feel like is that a societal trend, or is that just the bubble you and I are living in?
Oh, that's a good question. We looked at meta-analysis studies on this, and the reason behind people not losing weight isn't actually because they don't understand how to lose weight or what to do. You know, I know the burger's bad, or I should eat this salad I don't want to eat the salad. Let's be honest. I want to eat the burger, right?
For sure.
But what the issue is that people don't have time to eat healthy. So that's what all these studies have shown, is that we work extremely hard. We, you know, just don't have time to cook three meals a day. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that's what it takes. So we're really kind of taking that out of the equation. We're going to cook the meals for you and just save you that time. So you're,
yeah,
you know.
Well, it's convenient, so it saves us from, you know, time at the grocery store. So where's the biggest savings? It's obviously time in the kitchen, but it's time shopping, time thinking about it.
Totally.
Is there a certain area where you feel like it's you're making the most, I don't know, it resonates the most?
I think a lot of it is just that cook time, you know, like cooking different, like a different variety of meals all week. Mm-hmm. We've all done the chicken and broccoli on Sunday, and then by Tuesday, you like hate chicken and broccoli because you've had it for three meals.
You need
meals.
A variety.
And you really need that variety. And that's a really big, you know, piece of feedback that we get, is that you need variety both in your diet and your workouts as well. People really, really crave the variety to keep it, you know, engaging and keep sticking to it. Sticking to it is really the key. Everybody can start a diet for a day, right?
Yes.
We've all been there, you know, you go one day and you're like, cool, I killed it. And then, you know, 3 days in, it becomes a challenge.
It is so tough. Well, let's talk about your product. As a business person, you didn't start off with the kind of menu and offering that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
How did the offering begin? And then what does it consist of today?
Yeah, so we actually started with paleo meals back in 2015. So that was the hot thing in 2015. Everyone wanted to do paleo, and that's really just like whole foods, very, you know, easily agreeable that it's healthy. You know, there's not a lot of controversy like keto or, you know, vegetarian or something like that. It's just very, very easy to connect with. So we started there. We really expanded to, you know, pretty much every diet you can imagine at this point. To give people the options to switch around. You know, maybe you were doing paleo, but you feel better about, you know, clean eating or keto or something now. That keeps you engaged and keeps you, you know, kind of sticking to it, like I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just order it from you and it gets delivered to me. I mean, I've done it, obviously, but for our audience, it comes in an orange box and your orange box shows up. You're like, oh, right, got some healthy stuff to put into my body. Get rid of some of my bad habits and put in a couple of good ones from Trifecta. We talked a little bit about the product, but the other thing that I think makes your product interesting is the convenience in how you get it. So you can, I end up seeing your things on Instagram from different influencers. Can we talk a little bit about your marketing strategy and how you sort of fit into the health food landscape?
Yeah, definitely. We're really, really heavily referral based. So people like yourself loving it, sharing that around. Same thing goes with, you know, our partners that are athletes, or, you know, you mentioned
I'm an athlete too, Liz. Let's not forget.
Absolutely. athletes with, you know, large followings for their athleticism.
You should see me over at CrossFit.
I believe it. I believe it.
Brother jokes with me all the time about it. He's always giving me a hard time.
Oh no. it's really just so heavily referral based. So it's it comes back to, you know, making a really good product and making something that people really need and enjoy. That allows us to really spread the word, because that's really all it is. You're just spreading the word.
People want to tell, you know, it's like, how do you know if your buddy's doing CrossFit?
He'll
freaking tell you, right? And it's how do you? So it's like, hey, how do you look so good? Trifecta. You had to think about Trifecta. You know, we want to share the hacks or the helpful hints about
100%.
how to stay in shape, or, you know, be healthy.
And that's what we hear. You know, when people think about losing weight, they say, okay, who do I know that's done it? What athletes have, you know, do I follow that have done it? And then they can see, okay, these are the tools that they use to actually make this, you know, happen. Mm-hmm.
Are there certain athletes that have had a bigger impact on your business? Like, if I tell somebody, I might get someone to buy it, right? But if The Rock, or, you know, a real, you know, hunk of a guy, or a really hot woman promotes it, you're going to get a little bit different response.
Totally, totally. So are you trying to get me in trouble here with our partners?
Who? Oh, can you? Okay. Oh, by discriminating, who do you not mention, right? Who's your favorite? Yeah.
You're killing me. I mean, we obviously were talking about Uriah Faber before this. He's had a huge impact on us, not just with, you know, talking about Trifecta. That's, of course, super important, but with all the connections he's made for us and, you know, really just taking us under his wing in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you look at the MMA fighter population in general, Uriah being an MMA superstar, UFC guy, right? These guys are in good shape. They have to be lean and mean in order to compete. So I can see someone like that being super helpful. Are there certain, so the UFC's a sort of a segment, I guess, a following. People follow UFC. Some people follow women's volleyball. Some people follow golf. Are there certain segments that you feel like are kind of good tie-ins for you guys?
I mean, definitely the UFC, as you mentioned, CrossFit, we were talking about earlier, that's a big one for us. Something unique about CrossFit is that a lot of people who watch CrossFit and follow the athletes are actually CrossFit athletes, right?
Yes.
So that's not necessarily the case for, you know, the millions and millions of people have watched the UFC.
Oh, good point. You know, yeah.
They may be in UFC enthusiasts, but they unlikely that they're actually doing.
Good point. Yeah. Anybody can do CrossFit. Someday, anybody could golf, but not any, not anybody, but most people could golf. Most people could do CrossFit, but MMA is very specialized, right? It's like, people just don't do it.
Totally, totally. So that, I mean, that's been a big one for us. You know, PGA, you name it, all the major sports, they definitely make a big impact for us. Yeah.
Okay, so the broader marketing strategy, though, maybe can you give us an overview of, because you predominantly use digital marketing, is that right? So what, that's kind of, there's a lot of analysis and technical stuff that goes into that. So as you decide which channels are performing best and so on, I mean, can you give us a little bit overview of the overall strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you all our secrets.
Yeah, but no secrets. Yeah.
You know, things like Facebook have become really big deal for us. Facebook is obviously, you know, advertising there is a big deal for a lot of companies nowadays. So we're able to really track our ROAS with that.
ROAS. Let's break it down for the C student.
Return on ad spend.
Okay.
So you're making sure that you really are, I don't want to get too technical with you, but making sure that you're spending less for a customer than you'll actually make on that customer, right? That's
so. Do you think of like the lifetime value of a customer, the cost to acquire the customer versus the lifetime value? Is that part of the metrics? Yeah.
Yeah. Super important. A really big piece of our strategy has been SEO. So,
search engine optimization.
Thank you.
I'm helping break down the acronyms, even though I barely get them.
That one's been really important to us for two reasons. One, it kind of anchors our customer acquisition costs, but two, it also is a platform for us to really educate people. So this is blogs on our website, videos, anything like that, where people can come and learn, how do I lose 20 pounds? Or, you know, how do I calculate my macros? All of these things like that, that would be related to weight loss. We're trying to educate the audience, and then some of those people will filter through and actually purchase. They'll say, oh, I want to hit the easy button.
Yes.
Let me, you know, actually buy the food and just let you take care of it.
So you have your own content creation arm of the company that creates blogs and videos and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've dove a little bit into marketing and the product, how it fits and so on, but I want to talk about you for a minute here.
Sure.
You are the president, co-founder of a highly successful company. You are a lot younger than I am. You're young, young female, and you've been doing this 6 years. And so you started this, you founded this company when you were a kid, basically. So I'm kind of thinking about that journey, right? So the leadership journey, and, you know, as we think about other people that are maybe in their mid-20s when they start something, or early 20s, and you're starting a business, and then as it's successful, you're doing things that you didn't do at the very beginning. At the beginning, it's, you know, you and a co-founder and maybe a small team, and then now it's 100 people.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that journey, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the longest 6 years of my life.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. In the best possible way. We've just grown so much. I can see it in Greg, my co-founder. I can see it in myself. To go from, yeah, like you said, just the two of us in a room together, bouncing ideas, working, you know, insane hours, which we still kind of do. But, you know, we really just tried to always be continuously learning. So I read a book a week. I watch Udemy videos. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Udemy,
like,
Udemy, whatever they call it. Yeah. Okay, give me a book then. Give me a book for the – give me a – recommend a digital marketing book and a leadership book. Or do you do stuff like leadership?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, I loved Building a Story Brand was a great a great marketing book. On the leadership side, you know, I really love both Mindset by – I think it's Carol Dweck, and then Radical Candor as well. I'm going to forget her name, but both of those we actually give to every employee when they start, and we're like, read these books. They're going to help you communicate better. They're going to get your mindset right to really have a growth mindset. So back to continuous learning. If you're, you know, closed off and not thinking that you can get better each day, then, you know, kind of that like victim mentality, then you're really going to struggle to grow. So we try to really start off on the right foot. Obviously, we try to hire for it as well, but start off by teaching them how to do that. And it's been really successful. We love it.
Okay. So how have you grown in this last 6 years in this journey? What, how have you changed and how have you grown?
Oh goodness. I just the knowledge of the different areas of business, I think, have come a long way. My background is in sales. So, you know, the sales department was very easy for me to implement and grow. And I know what softwares to do next and all of these different things, how to train the team and things like that. Engineering, totally new to me, had to, you know, go from I couldn't tell you any codes, to, you know, to how they're coding all the way to helping lead the department.
Yeah, you have a pretty developed, very developed tech stack associated with the marketing and associated with the different aspects of the business. It's not just food. You know, the food's kind of the sexy part of the thing, but, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that happens in order to have this thing for you to operate as lean as you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have just incredible team behind us, which they've taught us a ton too. But a big part of it is leadership. Big part of it is, you know, management skills. Haven't, you know, run a team nearly as big as the team we have now. So
was there any time when you decided, okay, I have to make a change on the leadership side specifically? I remember building some businesses, and I was we had bought a company, and I was younger than the employees of the company that we bought, and then I am leading, and I didn't have a lot of experience in that industry, and there was a period of time when I felt, and I'm not saying you felt this way, but felt like almost like imposter syndrome. I know that's kind of a term that's used today, but back then it was like fear.
Yeah.
I was afraid to lead. And it's like, really? Because I had owned some video stores, which was like my high school buddies.
Yeah.
And now I'm managing professionals, right? And there was an intimidation factor for even the business owner.
Oh,
I wonder if you felt anything like that.
100%.
Really?
And I think nowadays, you know, I get in front of our entire team and I can give, you know, team meeting speeches and things like that. And I don't get nervous. But even when it was like 10 of us, but it was my first time doing it, I was terrified.
Yeah.
You know, the butterflies and why is my heart racing and all
what
of that.
What is this?
And so I think, you know, so much of it is just practice and just kind of like stepping into it and doing it anyway.
Face your fear, do it anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And then I think one of the big, I've had so many leadership learning moments, don't get me wrong, but one of the biggest ones was early on in the business. One of my team members was working really, really hard, but just really wasn't getting it, was struggling. And I realized if they were putting in that much effort, but I hadn't given them the tools or the leadership to be successful, that was really on me. And that was a big growing experience of like, okay, this guy's doing all the right things. Like, I just need to show him the way type thing. So that helped a lot, just kind of looking internally versus, hey, why don't you get it?
You know? Exactly. That's interesting. So you, when in that particular scenario, you saw the heart or the effort.
Totally.
And you're like, come on. And then you took you looked in the mirror and said, oh.
Yeah, 100%. And I think anyone who's really working hard, they're missing some component. And usually it's they need to learn something that they haven't learned, right? I genuinely believe you can do anything with hard work and continuous learning. Like, you pair those two things together and you can figure out anything, right?
Hard work and continuous learning. Okay, that's write that down, folks. It sounds so basic, but sometimes we forget that, right? Mm-hmm. In the continuous learning piece, I think we all need that.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, every day. Hopefully I can teach you something today.
You just did. You kidding me? Maybe there's a book that I, hopefully, we're recording this, luckily, so I'll go back and I have the show notes that I remember to go get. I've read Radical Candor. I may have read them all. I just have to.
Well, you gotta give me a book recommendation.
Okay, so here's one.
I'm a big book nerd.
Here's my book you probably have already read this, but have you read Shoe Dog?
Oh, yeah, great.
Okay.
Book, yeah.
I know I recommended that to people in the Entrepreneurs Organization over time. That's one about the founder of Nike, and he has the battle, the struggle, like you guys have done and overcome in terms of getting over the hump. But he uses influencers to help market Nike, and it really is the differentiator for the product.
Totally.
Or for the success. So
and he touches on imposter syndrome too. I don't think he calls it that, but he feels it talks about how he feels it. And it was so relatable to me when I read it a few years ago. I was like, oh, okay, he felt that way. The founder of Nike felt that way. It's not crazy that maybe I feel that way too.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It was very inspiring. I've read it probably two or three times. It's been a year or two, but for anybody out there that's building a business, doesn't have to be something that's driven by this big brand and, you know, multinational company, but it's just a very relatable story about a guy that runs track and, you know, ends up with some shoes and
just some shoes.
They ended up catching on somehow. You definitely I want to let you have a chance to share whatever you want to share about the business, but we're going to have a special segment. This is a surprise segment that we've never done on the show before, and I've titled it Pick Her Brain. And so I have brought in a young startup founder that has a business that has similarities to Trifecta Nutrition, and I'm going to bring her on the show to pick your brain from the founder standpoint. Because I want to make sure that we're very relatable to the people out there that are at the beginning stages of their business. So I'm going to ask Jessica Vidalis to come on the show. Come on, Jessica, come on over here and have a seat. Okay, so this segment is called Pick Her Brain. I have Jessica Vidalis. She is the founder and CEO of Make My Memory Box. Is that right? Pronounce the name of somebody's company wrong, Mark. So you are a startup founder, and you did something that I think is really, I imagine it was some fear involved. You quit your job as a highly successful educator and said, I'm going all in on my entrepreneurial career. Is that right? Is that what happened?
That's right. Yes.
Oh, gosh. And so how long ago was that?
2 weeks.
So 2 weeks, 2 weeks in, and now we're talking with Liz Conley, president of Trifecta Nutrition. So I often say that entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy, right? You take the risk, you make the sacrifices in order to figure out a way to change the world. And I'm glad that we have this idea that surfaced, Pick Her Brain, because you really, Liz, you are a hero of the American economy. I think it's really something, you're the type of person that we really should be looking up to in society, because look, you did it, you rolled up your sleeves, you've outworked everybody, and you know, you persevered, and you had continuous learning, and you know, it's really cool. And so I think for Jessica to have a chance to pick your brain. I think this is a cool opportunity for all of us that are in this startup community. So Jessica, I'm going to turn it over to you. Ask whatever you want. Ask very personal questions. Ask, try to stump her. I want you to try stump Liz Conley. I don't think you can do it.
All right. You're leaving it to the teacher to stump Liz.
I love it.
Okay, go
all
for
right.
it.
All right. So I loved hearing all about Trifecta. It's awesome. And
Thank
I want to know, if you were to go back 6 years ago and give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think that it's okay to work as hard as I did, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but lots of people told me over the years, like, don't work so hard, you're pushing yourself too much, you know, you get a lot of slack about, like, hanging out on the weekends, or, you know, you pretty much don't have time for much when you start a business, if you really want to push and make it successful. And we were very much bootstrapped in the very beginning, so lots of you know, our own money into the business. So I think that'd probably be just some grace for myself, instead of being quite so hard on myself for just putting in all that effort.
Yeah, it's a man jumping in here just to kind of add some color to that. It's amazing how many people say stuff like, don't work so hard, and,
yeah,
you know, why are you killing yourself? You don't need to. You've already done so much. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, I'm obsessed with my startup. I'm
yeah,
obsessed with my
it.
Company.
I
yeah.
love it.
Do what you love. You never work a day in your life, right? It's 100%. Like, it's okay to be great. It's okay to dive in. I'm glad you shared that, because I think a lot of society mm-hmm. just says other things to us. So mm-hmm. thank you. That was mm-hmm. a great question. Beat better than my questions.
I'm curious also. So what does your daily routine look like?
Ooh, okay. Well, but most people think this is crazy too. So I wake up 4:30 in the morning. Gym. I currently have a gym at home, which is great. Happened to get it right before COVID. So just incredibly lucky timing. I'm so grateful. But I'll work out, walk the dog, eat breakfast, and head into work. And then, you know, at work, mostly meetings at this point. Obviously, there wasn't a ton of meetings in the early days when it's just Greg and I kind of, you know, working through different challenges and things like that. But yeah, now it's really heavy meetings. And then I pretty much always just eat meal prep all day, which is so typical, you would think, for someone at Trifecta. We feed all our employees, so they do all the same thing. And then, yeah, I mean, by the time I get home, usually I'm just walking the dog and going to bed. So not a wild life, but
it sounds like that dog's getting a lot of attention. I heard you're engaged. You never didn't mention the fiance.
He's there on the walk. So that he's okay. part of the walk
make sure
ritual.
You and your fiance okay. walk the dog.
Yeah.
Let's have
yes.
our priorities. The guys matter too.
He's in the gym too. Yeah. Weekends are kind of our time, not necessarily during the week, but yeah, I mean, so much of it is heavily meetings, and that's really just to kind of facilitate the success of the team. So, you know, not a ton of individual contributing at this point, which was like the total opposite, obviously, early on. It's like 100% individual. There's nobody to help to, you know, be successful in their role. It's just on your shoulders type thing.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
So what underrated tool is indispensable to you as a business owner?
Ooh, I hate to bring it back to continuous learning, but I can't help it. Audible is like my best friend. So when I say I read a book a week, I don't read a book a week. I listen to a book a week. And that's what's really like propelled me forward in learning about all these different areas of the business or communication. I mean, that's one thing as you start to grow a team, you start to realize, oh, I need to be really good at communicating and leading, or, you know, I'm not going to have a crew running with swords behind me. I'm going to just be running with a sword by myself. So that was definitely something that's helped me a ton, because you'll find that most people are like, when are you reading? When do you have time? And it's on the drive to work, on my dog walks, which you guys are making fun of me for, on, you know, just quick moments that you can have. I mean, literally in the shower, I listen to books, like just anytime.
You listen to, okay, so I got to chime in here. You're in the shower and you got your headphones in the shower?
I just have it playing loudly,
yeah.
Which
okay,
I'm sure
picturing
is,
mine with a headphone.
I'm
okay.
sure is my fiance's favorite, just like loud audible in the shower.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I
radical calendar coming through into the shower.
Yeah, I take my phone into the shower. So, but you know, you have to fit it in where you can. And I think that's what I hear a lot from people is like, I just don't have time to read a book, to listen to a podcast, watch a video. And I think you can make time no matter what. I mean, I can't do it because I working out, I'm like, I gotta have music. But I know people that listen to books while they work out. I mean, there's a time that you can fit it in, right? It's just like working out. Everybody says, oh, I don't have time for that. You know, you can fit it in.
Well, I think that goes back to what you were saying about your whole business model with eating healthy. Totally. And not having the time. We don't have time to cook three meals a day the way we want with what we want to eat and still be eating healthy. And having that mindset of growth and not yet and I can accomplish anything, I think goes hand in hand with what you're saying is you can read a book a week. Yep. Play it, press play and listen, and anyone can do it. So that's great.
Yeah,
okay,
totally.
I have another question for you. What is your favorite productivity hack that you think helps you to accomplish more things in a day?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know if I have a great answer for this. I don't know if there's a great hack for like hard work necessarily, but one of the things that I do is I get just an insane amount of emails, and what I'll do is I'll handle them if they take a very short amount of time, and if they take a longer, you know, let's say longer than 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, I'll actually put it into a project management system. That's the way of organizing everything through my email has been really useful to me. I think people get overwhelmed with like, oh, I'm getting messages in these 10 different places. I funnel everything through my email. And then again, if it's a long project, I put it in a project management system. But that's, you know, me texting myself, well, I'll email myself and then that comes into my email and then it's like a task for me to do. So, people think that's a little weird too.
Best productivity hack in the world, email, right? Direct message, screenshot, shoot it over to email, put it on my to-do.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot of power in having like one inbox, whether it's your email, your project management system. Some people, maybe it's Slack, you know, whatever that is. I guess you could be in like the dark ages with paper and that's your inbox. Whatever your inbox is, having like a centralized place I think is really helpful.
Yeah, I love a good list, you know, like crossing off a list and checking off lists is fun.
Yeah.
But I actually read an article about email inboxes and how people feel overwhelmed with their inbox. They actually waste more time sorting through emails. And what you said was tackling smaller items less than 5 minutes is the most productive way to go through emails and put the longer ones off for a little bit later. So that's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Are we good for one more question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm learning it. This is great.
Okay, so what's something that you didn't expect to happen early on or kind of midway through your business that maybe felt like a setback, but you pushed through and it actually became a really big learning moment or kind of a changing point in the business?
Ooh, good question. I try to think of everything as like an opportunity, so it's hard to think of setbacks.
As a startup, like it feels sometimes like, is this that time? Like, is this too much or is it too hard or how am I going to overcome this? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, going through those and seeing on the other side, mm-hmm. when you don't know, there's another side of it already. Yeah. That's something I was curious to know.
Yeah. I mean, kind of back to what Mark and I were talking about, we've definitely run out of money or very close to run out of money more times than I would like to admit, which when you're so invested in like passionate and just your time is invested, it's really hard to not continue to pursue it. I don't think I've ever had a time of I'm not going to continue with this, but I've definitely thought like, oh, is it supposed to be this hard? Like, is this normal? Is it this hard for everybody? And then, you know, the dynamics with my brother is my co-founder. So we've worked through, you know, all sorts of challenges together. But I know ultimately he's, you know, I can trust him. He's always going to be there. He's not going to quit on me, which I'm very, very grateful for that. That's been, I think, a huge part of our success is like the level of trust that we have with each other. So little shout out to Greg there.
One thing too, I would chime in because I think you can have these setbacks. I mean, let's take running out of money, or, you know, almost running out of money as being, you know, something that obviously is very memorable for you. I have to imagine that's caused you all to build a business more frugally as an investor. Mm-hmm. I know that you've built it in a way that's compared to a lot of startups. A lot of startups build companies and they just burn cash continuously, and then just go out, raise more money from venture capitalists. You guys have built this thing predominantly through profits, right? Success, raise money from your customers, mm-hmm. Which is a more frugal approach. Obviously, you've had extremely rapid growth, but I have to imagine that frugality comes from life's experience. So I would assume, you know, it's interesting, it's kind of an interesting question that I think maybe as a follow-up, as you think about that, is so many companies these days are building businesses and profits are secondary and it's all about top-line growth. Mm-hmm. With the new $20 million infusion, mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of, your investors are going to expect top-line growth, probably, because a lot of valuations are on the top-line growth. I mean,
sure.
But do you think that frugality is built throughout the company beyond you and Greg? Because now you've got other people making decisions beyond you and Greg.
Yep. And I do think it is. I think it's very ingrained in us. And as we start to adjust our hiring plan and we start to work through, okay, how are we deploying this capital? You can see it's in everyone's heart to, okay, but we're still going to spend it wisely. You know, we're still going to, make sure that we get the best cost from our vendors, or, don't go out and spend $1,000 on dinner for two, whatever it is. I think we'll continue to put a focus on it, but ultimately we do want to deploy some of the capital, right? So figuring out exactly what those ways are, we have a board meeting to talk about that. So coming soon.
Yeah. Sounds like a fun challenge. Okay, so I want to thank Jessica for, because you asked way better questions than I did, and so thank you for that. Thank you too. I think it's maybe this will be a regular idea for us to do on the show, because I think it was helpful to think of this from your perspective. But maybe I want to give Liz, you a chance Jessica, first of all, what was the, maybe back up, experience? So you got to hear from one of my heroes. What's it, any takeaways from you?
I think it's incredible to hear about, at this stage of your business, 6 years later, talking about continuous learning and mindset and just the commitment you have to your employees. You're giving them a book to learn and to read and to really share who you are. And you're building your business and your brand mm-hmm. based on what feels right in your heart. And I think that's hard when there's so much influence at the beginning. And I'm sure it's still there. Mm-hmm. But to believe and trust in yourself and what you're doing. And it really shows in your success. And I think that's really great.
Thank you.
I think my biggest takeaway is that continued learning piece is so important. Just to know that with a growth mindset, like you said, anything's possible. It's just maybe just not now, mm-hmm. it's when, or mm-hmm. it's just not yet. And so I love that you hold that true to yourself and your company, and I hope to follow the same.
Okay, so I'm going to give you I'm going to give you the mic, Liz. Thinking about all the other people out there that would like to be like Liz. I want to be like Liz. Any advice, other closing thoughts about Trifecta, advice to the next person in line?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously could talk about hard work and continuous learning until I'm blue in the face, but I think another really big component is just having fun in what you do. Being passionate about it is a big piece, but also, going the extra step to make it fun. I have the opportunity that I'm not doing an operation and, if I slip the scalpel, I'm going to hurt somebody. Like I can have fun in a meeting or, in a one-on-one with a teammate or whatever it is. And I think bringing that fun every day, just makes it a really cool journey, because once you get to the end, you're like, oh, did I actually enjoy myself along this? So we do like dress up days at Trifecta. We do all sorts of, just silly stuff to make it fun on a day to day instead of, hey, well, when we get there, we'll have fun. It's got to be along the way, right?
Yeah. Have fun along the way. Great lessons today. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Jessica, for joining me today. And really, congratulations to both of you for your overcoming any concerns about jumping in with both feet. And I wish you both the best of luck. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
You bet.